3. And as always, Father, we just give you thanks and praise that you give us the ability to give. And Lord, we just give to you cheerfully and freely. We give back to you, Lord. And for every gift, every tithe, and every offering, Lord, that is put in our container in the back, Lord, may you cause it to be blessed super abundantly. Lord, cause people to have more than enough, to be fully supplied for, and to have enough for every good work in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 3, we're going to go right to verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from what? From the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So he became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And the reason he redeemed us and became a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's you and me, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive, underline that word receive. You know, there's some things that God wants you to receive. The promise of the Spirit through faith. Say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
So what does it mean to be redeemed? It means that you've been made acceptable or pleasant in spite of any negative qualities that you may have. It means that a negative has been changed to a positive. Glory be to God forevermore. It means your reputation has been restored. Hallelujah. To be redeemed means a price was paid and atonement was made for your sin. Your kidnapper was paid and he has to let you free. Okay? It means to fulfill a pledge or a promise. How many know that we have a promise keeper in God? All his promises are yes and amen. It means to exchange something for money. Hallelujah. When you used to have bottles, the grocery stores would take your glass bottles that were used and they would give you a nickel or whatever for them. That's redeeming them. Amen. And to pay the outstanding portion of a debt. That means that when that debt is paid, it is no longer, you're not obligated to it anymore. Say, my debt has been paid. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, God wants you debt-free spiritually. He wants you debt-free physically. He wants you debt-free from any entanglement of a bad relationship. Amen? And that's what it means. That's what he came to do. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And part of his redemption is he gives us a new nature. Amen? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 17. Well, we better back up just a little bit. Let's go up to verse 15. And that he died for all. How many did Christ die for?
All.
That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So who should we live for? Jesus. He is the reason why we live now. Amen? He has become our wisdom of God. He is our purpose. Matter of fact, he is our way. He is our life, and he is the truth. Okay? Wherefore, henceforth, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, don't you like henceforth and therefore? Don't you like these words? If any man be in Christ, are you in Christ tonight? Okay, then he's talking to you. What did you get when you got in Christ? You got in Christ because you asked Jesus to come into your heart. You called him Lord, and he came in, and something changed in you. Something was instantly different in you. Okay? It was your spirit. You became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become. Your hair didn't change. Your eyes didn't change, but something on the inside changed. You were dead, and the minute you accepted the Lord, you became alive. You were in darkness, but when you accepted the Lord, he brought you into the light. He translated you. Better than Star Trek. Okay? And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Say, I'm a minister. Of reconciliation. With the reconciliation that you received, you now can help others be reconciled to God. Because you are going to encounter lost people. You live by them, you work next to them, you associate with them, you interact with them, you see them, you're going to contact lost people at some point in your day. And you have been equipped to give them what you have received. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verses 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened. Say, I've been quickened. That means to be made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know what kind of air Satan is prince over? Dead air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now look at verse 3. There's a word towards the end there that I want you to pay particular attention to. Among whom also we had our conversation. That word conversation means our lifestyle, how we lived. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Underline that word, nature. You were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ Jesus. How many know that we had a sin nature? And it was that sin nature that caused us to sin, enslaved us by sin, and we were trapped and held captive because of the sin nature that we had. All right? And I just want to emphasize this again. Go to John 8. John 8. And verses 33 and 34. And it said, they answered him, we are Abraham's seed. Now the Pharisees are talking here. And we're never in bondage to any man. How say you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits the sin is the servant of sin. So when you commit sin, that's when it entraps you. You know, like sometimes police, they have a speeding trap. And you can't see them and you go by and you're not paying attention. And all of a sudden you see in your rearview mirror these flashing lights. You know, because they set a speed trap. Well, sin has a trap. And sin can be very alluring. Sin, the Bible says sin is fun for a season. Okay? And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides. But the son abides ever. And if the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I want you to notice that God's word didn't have any place in them. Okay? I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You know, if you don't allow God's word to get into your heart, it's going to be hard to hear his word. When you don't allow God's word to get into your heart, you automatically set up a resistance against it. If you were going to have a party at your house and you sent invitations and they responded back, and let's say the party was going to start at 7 and the house is ready, what are you going to expect? How are the people going to get into your house? They're going to either ring the doorbell, ding dong, or they're going to knock if the doorbell doesn't work, right? And then if you know that they have been invited, what are you going to do? You're going to let them in. And the same thing is true with Jesus. He is standing at our door and he's knocking and we have to let him in. And you know, basically, he was saying them, he said, you are of your father, the devil. My point is this. What comes from the father? It's our nature. So here were the Pharisees. They were claiming to be children of Abraham, yet they were really children of the devil. Because they had a nature that resembled the devil. Okay? And the nature of God is different than the nature of the devil. Amen? Now, the enemy is going to attack you, and his goal is to try to get you to respond like the old nature. He tries to set up things that will make you respond out of that old nature. Okay? And he works feverishly to try to prevent people from encountering their new nature. All right? Now, some of you, you need to know how to resist the enemy. I'm just going to take just a couple minutes for this, and then we're going to get on to how we're redeemed from poverty. Okay? But I just really felt impressed of the Lord to share this part. Now, because you have God's nature, you have a new nature, you've got to resist from yielding to the old nature. Because you don't have to. If you read Romans 6, it talks about how we do not have to let sin have dominion over us. Okay? So, can I help you resist the enemy tonight? And help you overcome temptation? How did Jesus overcome temptation? Devil took him into the wilderness and he tempted him. What was his response? It is written. Now, if Jesus resisted the enemy with the word, how can you resist the enemy? You got to use the word, okay? Just write down Luke 4, verses 1 through 6. Use the word to resist the enemy. Okay? Why? The word is your authority. Number two, just write down James 4, 7. He says, submit to God, therefore, and resist the devil, and he'll what? Now, what if you're not submitted to God? What's the devil going to do? He's going to stay or run to you. Amen? So number two is you got to submit to God. You've got to recognize God as the authority in your life. And when you submit to God, you're walking in accordance with his rule, with his word. You're putting his word into practice. And you're abiding in his commands. When you do that, you're submitting to him. You're coming under his mission, right? Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Okay? Now, Ephesians 4, 23 through 26. Give no place to the devil. Say, I can resist the devil. If he comes and attacks you, if he accuses you, if he tries to intimidate you, you can resist it. You don't have to yield to him. Why? Because you have a new nature. You have the nature of Christ on the inside of you. The new nature is one of victory. The new nature is one of strength. The new nature is one of overcoming ability. The new nature is one of not failing. Jesus didn't fail, did he? Now you share his nature. You are joint heir with Jesus. What he gets, you get. Okay? 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Just write that down. Number four, you've got to resist Satan steadfast in the faith. He walks about as a roaring lion. Notice as. As a roaring lion. Didn't say he was a roaring lion. He tries to imitate a roaring lion. But when you really know who the devil is, he's toothless. Because the tooth has been freed. But you've got to resist him. You have got to protect your new nature. You've got to know that you're dead to sin. You've got to know that you're alive in Christ. You've got to, when the enemy comes, you've got to say no. You've got to put your foot down. Okay? The fifth thing that you need to know, Hebrews 2:14. Jesus brought to naught the one who had power of death. What did Jesus do? He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. How did Satan get the power of death? Adam gave it to him when he sinned. Did you realize that Adam acted like a double agent? Because he took the authority that God gave him and he gave it to Satan. Now, Satan only has a short lease. You know, when some of the demons appeared to Jesus, they said, is it the time that you're going to send us, you're going to torment us? But it's not their time until he returns again. Then he's going to deal with them. Then he's going to put them away. All right? But you've got to know that Jesus conquered the one who has power over death. So Jesus' life trumps death. And just like he rose from the dead, guess what? You can rise. If your life has ended up in a pile of ashes, God can make something of those ashes. He'll give you beauty for ashes. So no matter what you've suffered, no matter what you lost, God can bring something beautiful out of it. That's part of your nature. John 14:30. Just write that down. It says, the prince of this world has no claim on Jesus. Jesus said, there's no darkness in me. He has no claim on me. You have his authority. And with his authority, you can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if the devil's messing with you, it's because you let him. It's because he can only come when he can only go where you give him permission. Okay? John 12:31, know this, that the ruler of this world will be cast out. Listen, you got to know Satan's future. He has got a nice retirement plot by the lake. Oh, the lake of fire. Okay? You got to know that his time is coming to an end. And Ephesians 2:2, which is what we read, listen, just stay with Christ. Because people who are without Christ, they follow the prince of the power of the air. All right? Now, I just want you to know how to resist the enemy, because you've got to resist him. You've got to prevent him. Listen, the best way to deal with a bully is to confront him. Don't be afraid of the devil because he's been defeated. And he has a nature of death, and you have a nature of life because you've been redeemed. God has added value to you. Satan lost his value, and he can never regain it. Do you realize? We know because Satan fell, he tempts us. But who tempted him to fall? No one tempted him. He fell of his own choice. People fall because they're tempted to fall, but he fell when no one was tempting him. That's why he can never be redeemed. He can never experience what you're experiencing. Can you say amen? So, go with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. We've been redeemed from what? The curse of what? Okay, well, let's find out what curse of the law he's talking about so that we know what we've been redeemed from. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you the bad news first so that I can give you the good news last so that we forget about the bad news. Amen? Okay, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. It shall come to pass, if you will not listen or hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, if you will not observe his commandments and his statutes, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Doesn't sound good already. Now, why will the curses come? Because you're not obeying, you're not listening, and you're not doing. If you're not obeying, if you're not listening, and you're not doing, you open yourself up for a curse. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs, the curse causeless shall not come. Curses don't come without a cause. There's a reason why people are cursed. It's because they don't listen. You're going to be cursed in the city. Cursed in the field. That means whether you live where it's populated or where it's not populated, you're cursed. You're going to be cursed in your basket and your store. That means the food that you bring to the table, the fruit basket, the kneading bowl. Okay? You're going to be cursed in the fruit of your body. Weren't there people in the Bible who were barren? They couldn't reproduce. That's a curse. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all you set your hand to. until you be destroyed. See, I'm told you, I'm giving you the bad news first. Say, this does not apply to me, because I've been redeemed from this. Say, thank God I've been redeemed from this. Verse 21, the Lord make the pestilence cleave unto you. That is disease. Until he's been consumed off your land. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting, that's blight, and mildew. And they shall pursue you until you perish. Say, whew, thank God that doesn't apply to me. And the heaven that is over your head shall be brass. That means you're not getting your rain. You know, you ever hear people say, I prayed and prayed, it doesn't feel like it's going anywhere? And the earth that is under you shall be like iron. That means it's going to be really hard to produce a harvest. Toil, hard. The Lord shall make the rain of your land like powder and dust. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcass shall be meat to the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt. That in itself doesn't sound good. It's really things that make you itch. Do you realize you've been redeemed from the itch? Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you a story about this. When I was younger, I got poison ivy, and it would come out in my body for 7 years, different every year. 1 year it was all over. And when I found out that I've been redeemed from the itch, I have not suffered from any poison ivy since I've found out that truth. Amen? So knowing that you're redeemed is a very powerful position. The Lord will smite you with madness. And verse 27 says emerods. That's like tumors. And with the scab and with the itch where you cannot be healed, the Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Say, it's not good to be cursed. And it goes on and on. So let's go to verse 1. You have been redeemed from that. In other words, when you're redeemed from the curse of the law, that any of those curses listed in the law, they cannot come on you. You have authority over them. You've been redeemed from them because you don't even have an old nature anymore. Listen, those things attach itself to the old nature. And you've got a new nature. So when the curse tries to come on you, it'll be like a rubber ball hitting a wall. It'll hit you and it'll bounce right back. Okay? Verse 1. If you listen, and if you observe, and if you do what God says, he will set you high above the nations of the earth. Amen? God's called you to live the high life. Of course, there's no high like the Most High, right? Verse 2, the blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. How many want the blessings to seek you out and tackle you? Whew, what's happening? The blessings are coming. The blessings are coming. Whoop, here they come. If you read Amos, God says the plowman will overtake, or the reaper will overtake the plowman, or the plowman overtake the reaper. That means one guy will be reaping, and then the harvest is so plentiful that the plowman's coming right behind them, and they're going to overtake one another. God wants to overtake you with blessings. Verse 3, in the city or in the country, doesn't matter where. Say, wherever I go, I'm blessed. Verse 4, the fruit of your body, your produce, your herds, your cattle, and your flocks. Anything that causes income to come to you, God will multiply it. Verse 6. You shall be when you come in and when you go out. Verse 7. Your enemies will be defeated and flee from you seven ways. Verse 8, the Lord commands a blessing on your storehouses and whatever you put your hand to and in the land he gives you. I can say that this chair is blessed. Why? Because I have just put my hand to it. You know, every meal that Fiona makes, she says, this is blessed because I touched it. Do you believe that about you? Do you believe that what you... Now, putting your hand to something is a little bit more than just touching it. It's actually doing something. Being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Putting it into practice. Do you believe that when you put something into practice that God tells you that it's going to be blessed, it's going to multiply, it's going to increase? See, all this has to be activated by faith. So he'll command the blessing on your storehouse, anything that your savings, investments. Yeah, but if you follow my investments, you know, the Lord's not blessing it because I lost money. Yeah, because you're agreeing with the loss. Listen, when you're redeemed from the curse of the law, you don't speak the curse, you speak the blessing. God will establish you as a holy people. Verse 10, all peoples will see that you're called of God, and they will fear you. So, thank God we're redeemed, amen? And here's the thing. Just because you set your mind and heart to believe God, and you step out with obedient faith, while trials mount up and it looks like it isn't working, that doesn't mean that what God said isn't true. Well, I came up for healing and you lay hands on me and I didn't get healed. Must not be true. No. Your experience doesn't change the word. Okay? If you do something and it doesn't work, ask the Lord, say, why didn't this work? What am I missing? God doesn't miss it. But too many people, we want to blame God for when things aren't working. God, how come you're not doing this? What makes you think it's God's fault? God never changes. Well, everything that God does works. You know, if you don't, just ask Job. He had a little conversation with Job. Were you there when I put the stars in place? No. Were you there when I gave the seas their boundaries? No. Okay then. We've established that. Okay? Listen, God always takes care of his accounts. God always makes sure he settles his accounts. Now, he may not settle his accounts every Friday. Brother Hagin used to say, God's payday is never, maybe not every Friday, but it's never late. Amen? God will always... The Israelites spent 400 years as slaves. Did God pay them for them being slaves? Absolutely, because when he delivered them, he said, go and borrow stuff. And they went and borrowed garments and jewels and gold and silver, and the Egyptians gave it to them. The Bible says they plundered the Egyptians. Where do you think that they got all the gold and the silver to build the tabernacle? It was from Egypt. Because you've been redeemed from poverty. God caused Abraham to be rich. Say, God wants me rich. Does that mean that everybody's going to be a millionaire? Not necessarily. But rich means you'll have a full supply. You will be abundantly supplied for. You'll have enough for you and some left over to share with others. That's what it means to be rich. That's a good word. You know, that's a Bible word. You know that that's a Bible word? Jesus became poor so that you might become rich through his poverty. That's 2 Corinthians 8. I had the word rich here. It's such a powerful word. Well, I can't find it now. Oh, yeah, here we go. It means fertile. The word rich means fertile, abundant, plentiful, productive, fruitful, full, wealthy, well off, having great value or worth. Listen, when Jesus puts his name on you, your value has increased substantially. See, God's people aren't poor because they honored God. They find out that they're poor because they didn't honor God. You know, when we don't do what God says, we shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, I made some stupid decisions in my life. There were times when I allowed myself to get into bondage because of the choices that I made. They weren't God's choices. God was like saying with a big bullhorn, "What are you doing?" But I wasn't listening. You know, when you're not listening to God, you're going to miss God's best. You got to take time to listen to what he says. Who owns the gold and the silver? He said, "The earth is mine and everything in it. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So if the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills, don't you think he could get you a hamburger if you're hungry? Don't you think he can get you a ribeye if you needed it? Let's just look at some people in the last couple minutes that I have. Go to 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4. Let me just show you where the rubber meets the road. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. What did this woman's husband do? He was a prophet. Okay? But apparently he didn't profit much. "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take him, my two sons, to be a bondman." The prophet didn't take care of his family because he left his family in debt. Okay? And you know what? We all have to deal with debt. And you know what? The best thing that you can do with debt is go on the offensive and attack it until it's gone. Amen? And once it's gone, don't easily accept debt unless it's going to increase your value in some way. Like, you know, if you buy a rental property and you mortgage that property, you're getting income from that property, all right? But, okay, so she was in debt, and the creditors were coming. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in the house." And she said, "Your handmaid has not anything." What did Elisha ask? What did she say? See, the problem is too many people are focused on what they don't have and not what they have. Well, I don't have. I can't do. Stop. You're focusing on the wrong thing. What do you have? She said, I don't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels abroad of your neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow what? Not a few. What's he giving? He's giving an instruction. Did you know that miracles come through instructions? And when you follow the instructions, you get the miracle. Borrow not a few. Listen, if God wants to get some wealth in your hands, it's going to take some preparation. You're going to have to get some things ready, right? In other words, sometimes we got to make room for God. And when you're come in, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons and shall pour out into all those vessels and you shall set aside that which is full. Okay? See, Elisha the whole time was focused on what she had, not what she didn't have. And if you focus on what you have, God can multiply that. If you focus on what you don't have, he can't do anything with that. Zero times 2 million is what? Zero. But 1 times 2 million is what? 2 million. See, it's better to focus on something than nothing. So she went from him and shut the door. And upon her sons who brought her the vessels to her, and she poured out. She started pouring out. It came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So as long as there was room to pour in, the oil was flowing. But once all the vessels were full, the oil stopped flowing. Okay? Now here is the miracle. Then she came and told the man of God, I got all these pots of oil. I started with one pot and I filled 10. I filled 15. I filled 20. How many ever pots she had? Now, here's the miracle. He said, go, sell the oil and what? Pay your debt and what? Live on the rest. There was enough oil from one pot of oil. God supernaturally caused enough oil to pay off what she owed and to live on the rest. That's the miracle. She was able to pay. Listen, God wants you to pay off your debts and he'll help you. But remember, when you deal with debt, you got to deal with self-gratification. You got to say no now so that you can have it later. And I had to learn that as a teenage boy with a credit card, I got into trouble because I couldn't manage myself. And thank God my dad helped me. And every once in a while, that old nature tries to get a hold of me. And like I said in the beginning, I got to resist that nature. Here this woman, at one point she couldn't pay her debt. Creditors were coming to take her sons. But because she encountered a man of God, she got an instruction from heaven. She followed the instruction. Now she can pay her debt and live on the rest. God will always give you more than you expect. Amen? Because he's a multiplier. So she went from being in a huge mess to being on top of the mountain. And it was because she was open for the word. Thank God she went to the man of God first. Thank God, he represents the word. You can go to the word first. Get God's perspective. Don't look to what you don't have, look to what you have. Amen? And I got several more examples, but I just don't have time. But you got to know that prosperity is God's will. He wants you to prosper. Say, God wants me to prosper. And prosperity is a covenant blessing. When you agree to his covenant and you walk according to his covenant, he will prosper you. And God will give you, he wants you to prosper in wisdom, favor, and success. And his prosperity will provide for you, will protect you, and give you a well-being. And finally, prosperity is our inheritance. Was Abraham blessed? Did the blessing on him prosper him? You have the same blessing on Abraham that you have the same blessing that was on Abraham. Why? Because you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on you. You know, you may not know this about Lorraine, but I do. She has testified, I don't know, more than 20 times. She would come into the bookstore and she would say, guess what? I found $20 in my pants today. She must have said that several times. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from her how she's found money in odd places. Why? Because she's blessed going out. She's blessed coming in. And when she didn't think things were going to work out, God had other blessings in store. And you know what? God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for this woman, if he did it for Lorraine, if he did it for others, he's going to do it for you. But you got to trust him. You got something?
Yeah, it won't be caught in the recording, but what the Lord was pointing out, he showed me, sometimes with this Deuteronomy 28, if you've been a Christian a while, you've probably read it, yeah, you know, and you're thinking, it's like, if you do these things...
The voice of a prophet, it speaks the inspired word of God. And a prophet will always paint a different picture than your current circumstance. And you can either go with the new picture or you can go with your current circumstance. When Elijah came to the widow of Zarephath, he painted her a picture of God's provision. You know, it's a rhema word. It's a word now. It's a fresh word. It's fresh manna. And, you know, when we get a hold of this, it'll transform our life. Do you realize that God made a nation of a couple that couldn't have kids? An entire nations. Why? Well, Abraham, I want you to go. Okay, he listened to God. God told him to go and he went. And he didn't know where he was going, and he had to keep on listening. Listen, if God says go over here, when you get to here, don't stop listening. Stay tuned in. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we know that it is your will that we prosper. Father, help us to prosper in our souls, in the inside. You've got to get a picture of prosperity in your heart. You've got to see yourself fully supplied, abundantly supplied, full of value, full of worth. You've got to see it on the inside of you. So, Father, give us a picture. Change our perspective. Father, deliver us from stinking thinking and from ourselves and from the limits that we put on ourselves. And Lord, let's be like Jabez and say, expand my territory and make me a blessing so that I don't produce pain. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we prosper wherever we are because of our connection with you. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Father. Lord, We surrender our ways and we take on your ways. Father, you will lead us into a land flowing with milk and honey, rich and fertile and full and spacious. Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing. Are you willing? If you're willing, say you're willing and then stand up. You got to be willing to let go of some things. If you've been doing things and it's not working, you got to change what you've been doing. Amen? It's important to prosper. Why? Because when you prosper, when the righteous are ruling, the people rejoice. Amen? How much more could we do? Oh, Father, we give you thanks and praise for a new and fresh anointing, Lord. Let us prosper in our minds. Let us prosper in our hearts. And let us prosper in our mouths. Stop talking poverty. Stop thinking poverty thoughts. Start talking prosperity. Start talking increase. Train your mouth to speak what the Word of God says about your situation in the name of Jesus. You can renew your mind. You can retool your body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will prosper because I am blessed, because I'm redeemed. Make a confession right now. You make your confession as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, the blessing that was on Abraham is on me, that where I go, I will prosper, I will increase, and I will multiply in the name of Jesus. Whatever I put my hand to, it will increase, it will grow, it will become mighty in the name of Jesus. I'm here to do great exploits. Hallelujah. I'm here to overcome debt. So, you know, for some, debt may be the giant Goliath, but you have the ability to slay that giant. God can deliver you. In one night. What if he doesn't deliver me in one night? Don't stop believing. Don't stop confessing. Don't stop doing what's right. Listen, when your mouth is right and your life is right and your thoughts are right, guess what? When you're lined up with God, he will bless you. God is faithful. He always comes through. He never lets the righteous forsaken. He never lets God's seed begging for bread. God will bless you. You have life and creative ability on the inside of you. Ha ha. The very same substance that God created the worlds is abiding in you. You are made in the image of a creator. Ha ha ha. Therefore, you can go and create. It is in the power of faith. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, let a new and fresh anointing come upon them, Father. Oh, Rabasunda Rabakasunda. Your direction. Ha ha ha. Yes, your direction, your direction, your direction. Oh, Rabakasunda Rabokasunda. See, the wind is what directs a sail ship. Oh, Ramakasunda Rabakasunda. Let his wind blow on you. Holy Spirit, blow on them afresh and anew in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, Rabakasunda Rabokasunda. Set them on a course, Father. Oh, to discover treasure. Oh, Rabasitia Ramama. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Father, that they start a spiritual mining company, a spiritual drilling company, to tap into the rich resources of God's goodness in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Father. The same life that came on Abraham and Sarah is the same life that's in them in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that they can do all things. All things. Nothing is too hard for them because of God, Father. Just strengthen them. Renew their strength right now, Father. Strengthen them. Build them up in the name of Jesus. Ha! Ah, they are cycle breakers and overtakers. Hallelujah. They are possessors of blessings. And they grab a hold of that is what is good. Because God puts things in their hearts and they do what they should. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God told Abraham, he said, I'm your shield and your buckler. What he was really saying was, I'm your king. Hallelujah. Your king will lead you. Your king will guide you. Oh, I thank you, Father. Lord, that there's a king in her corner that's overseeing, directing, and guiding in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, you fill her with good things. Father, you are the great healer. I give you thanks and praise for healing. Hallelujah. You're steadfast. You stood the test of time. He is your